Well, here we are, week two of the real life challenge, of the red letter challenge. And so the red letter challenge was birthed out of a desire to represent the real Jesus, to change the picture, the perception that the world currently has of him. It was birthed out of a discontent of how we represent Jesus. Many years ago, I'm glad that we're talking about camps, because I was a youth leader at Hyde Park Assemblies of God way back in the day. And I used to annually attend the most amazing God-encountering, life-changing Easter camps. And all of the AOG youth groups used to come together, and from around the state, and all of the groups were quite small then. And many of these camps were up at Araluen, up in the hills, and it was just the most, exactly what Andrew's been describing, the most wonderful time away to actually lean in and to receive from God. And I know many of you were actually at those camps, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 15 at a camp where John Lewis preached. But this particular camp that was at Araluen 1 year was Pastor Brian Houston, who heads up Hillsong today. But at that time it was the Hills CLC, I think. And he was our guest speaker. And on the last night of the camp, there were several hundred youth in attendance, and he went round the whole room and he prophesied over every single person in the room. It was just astounding. And when he came to me, he asked me, what was the greatest desire for my life? And these were the words that I said. I've never forgotten what I said. I said, when I stand before the Lord, when my life is done, I want to be able to say I didn't miss the mark, that I did everything he needed me to do, that I wouldn't have wasted my life, but I would have made it count for Jesus. And you see, we get to represent Jesus. And it's still me. I'm still that girl today that says, I don't want to miss the mark. My personal goal at the end of this red letter challenge and beyond is to be more like Jesus meant me to be. And there's no better way of hitting the target than looking at the words in red letters, for some of you in your Bibles, that came directly from the mouth of Jesus. How powerful is that? So I've always loved beautiful gardens, and as I drive around different suburbs, I'm always commenting on how lovely various gardens are in our suburbs, in our city. And more than that, I would absolutely love to have a beautiful garden for our own home. It would just give me so much pleasure. Now, if Rod actually falls on the ground and starts to hysterically laugh, you'll understand in a minute why he's going to do that. So I just want to prepare you in case that happens. So despite my deep longing for a beautiful, stunning garden, in all the years that Rod and I have been married, Rod has only seen me weed the garden twice. Once. I was hoping you'd see me twice. And so despite the fact that I have an overwhelming desire to have a beautiful garden, and if anyone lays it on anyone's heart to come and help me with that, but the absolute truth is that I don't have any desire whatsoever to do the hard work, the stamina and the commitment to actually accomplish this desire. So my darling eldest daughter, who is very, very much into, you know, plants and gardens and veggie gardens, and she tries to help me, and she buys me, she researches the hardest, most enduring plant that she can put in our planter at our door. And she says, Mum, this can live under incredibly harsh conditions, because she knew that I had extremely limited gardening skills. So after she plants it, I am so, darling, that's so, thank you so much for doing that, Amy. You know, it really means so much to me. Now, Mum, you're going to need to water it. Oh, gosh, I thought you said it was hard and enduring. So I water it diligently when I remembered. But apparently, my family all agree I have neglected and killed the plants. Now, if I want a beautiful garden, I need to water and weed, and I need to regularly tend my garden. If I want to be a great singer, I need to do lessons, I need to practice, I need to sing, I need to train. If I want to be a great golfer, I need to work on my game, I need to go to the driving range and work on my putting. And we kicked off last week with this red letter challenge, but you know, our heart's desire as a leadership is that we don't start with all of this gusto and great enthusiasm. By week five, we fizzled out. Today, we want to teach you how not just to start strong, but to finish well. The stakes are way too high for us. We've said that after everything that Jesus has done for us, he has lived, he died, he rose from the dead to absolve the sins, our sins, which include all that he's given us, eternal life. And I don't know about you, but I still, that girl back in Araluen, that girl still wants to be the best representation of Jesus that I can be. Not one done out of guilt or obligation, but because I am so compelled by the love and grace that I have no other choice but to go in and go after him, because he is my Saviour, he is my Lord, and I want to represent him in our world. I want to take as many people to heaven with me as I possibly can. And we've identified a problem, but we don't want to focus on that. We've said, look, the world has a perception where we don't represent Christ well. And if you do some research, you'll find that, you know, or even just talk to people in your neighbourhood, you'll find that people's perceptions are not always good. But one of the major issues for us as Jesus followers is that we don't have clarity on what it looks like to follow Jesus. And that's when we get back to the red letters in the Bible, and the words that Jesus spoke, and we have identified five main targets that we are going to shoot for. So let's say them together. Being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going. So for each of the next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about one of those targets. And we start with being. And this is really honestly the one that everything else hinges on. Why? Because our doing flows out of our being. I'm going to say that again. Our doing flows out of our being. According to John Acuff, a book called Finish says that 92% of people don't finish the goals and resolutions they set out for themselves. Well, that's just depressing. But Jesus is going to ask us to do a lot in this challenge. But before we do anything, we need to understand that Jesus has not invited us into a religion or a cult. It's not who we are. He's not asked us to do something which is not achievable. He hasn't done or, you know, said about all of these rules, or and it's not a checkbox. If you attain, there is God doesn't operate like that. But he invites us this morning into a very intimate and personal relationship with him. He invites us into a friendship. It says that he sticks closer than a brother. It says, even though a mother would forsake the child of her womb, I will never forsake you. Yeah? That's the sort of relationship that we are going after. So Jesus invites us into a relationship, not a religion. And I can start strong on my own, but if I'm going to finish this red letter challenge and I'm going to finish strong, I'm going to need something other than my own strength. And I don't know about you, but I want to finish strong and I don't want to fizzle, not just for the red letter challenge, but until he calls me home. So the answer to finishing strong is not to rely on your strength, but God's. And that happens with the first principle, the first target, which is being. Now, one of the most elite sports in the world is rowing. And if you've seen rowing, or you know some of the, like Trinity and those schools in Perth, you see a lot of the rowers practicing early morning on the river. And the aim of the sport is very simple. The first group of rowers that cross the finish line win. It's just like any other race. However, there is one key difference in rowing to any other race. In most other sports, for those of you who's sporty, who's done lots of sports in there, yes, I'd like to say I'm seeing a lot of hands, but no, not yet. Lovely. Thank you. Fabulous. Great. I didn't notice you didn't raise your hand, Rod. The aim of the sport is very simple. The first group of rowers that cross the finish line win. It's just like any other race. The strongest and the quickest will always win. However, there is one key difference in rowing to any other form of sport. Because, you see, in most other sports, the whole focus is keeping your eyes firmly fixed on the finish line. Rowing is different. The rowers are actually not looking at the finish line. As a matter of fact, their backs are turned and they are not even facing the finish line. They're focused on a man sitting on the edge of the rowing boat, and this man is called the what? The coxman. And the coxman is literally like the conductor of the rowing boat. He alone has his eyes fixed on the finish line and on the other competitors. And the key to winning the race in rowing comes down to the relationship between the rowers and the coxman. And typically when rowing teams win their race, it is the coxman that people celebrate because he led his team to the finish line. Our walk with God is very much like being in a rowing boat. Yeah? Great analogy, isn't it? As we look to Christ and trust in him, he will lead us and guide us and equip us to get to the finish line. Woohoo! Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. We are called to run our race, and we will finish our race when we keep our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking at Jesus is the most productive thing that we can do. And as we look to him, he's going to lead, he's going to guide our steps. And on several occasions, Jesus would give his disciple different ways to be with him. So in John 8:31, he talks about abiding in his word. In Matthew 9:38, he talks about praying earnestly. In Luke 4:8, he says, worship the Lord your God through worshipping God. In Mark 6:31, it says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Matthew 6:17, and when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, refers to fasting, a time of fasting. Luke 15:23, let us eat and celebrate. We've just done that this morning as we've taken communion. And in Mark 2:27, it talks about the Sabbath. Taking a Sabbath, taking a day of rest. All of these are organized around the whole theme of being. Being with Him. At the root of it all, Jesus wants us to be with Him. He wants us to spend time with Him. Because as His followers, Jesus is going to ask us to do a lot of stuff for Him. But before we can do that, we have to know why we're doing it. And I truly believe that Jesus means both being with Jesus is just not just being with Him, but then going and doing the things He asks us to do when we've been with Him. Yeah? That's where compassion rises. That's where we start to live a life that's beyond ourselves. But you know, truth is, gut level honest, a lot of us are much better at doing than being. Yeah? We can think of a million things to do and procrastinate about spending time with God. And we like the whole idea, but often we don't actually get to it. Now, if I tell my 19-year-old daughter Nat to please go and clean your room, and she comes back a couple of hours later and says, "Mom, guess what? I memorized what you said. Nat, please go and clean your room." And she repeats it to me. And I'd actually think she was pranking me. And I'd say, "Nat, come on, stop messing around. Go and clean your room." Then she comes back and says, "Guess what, Mum? You're going to think I'm so smart. I've actually learnt how to say 'go clean your room' in Greek. It's Paio Katharos Sastomasio." I might be very impressed by that. But the truth is, I would definitely categorically let her know, despite the Greek, despite the memorization, you've actually got to go and clean your room. And she comes back a third time and says, "Mum, I've organized for my whole Connect group to come and sit in my room and to work together to figure out what it would look like when my room's clean." At that point, I would then say in very strong motherly tones, "Nat, none of that is actually going to get the job done. Why do you think this is going to work with Jesus?" Because that's exactly sometimes what we do with Jesus, isn't it? Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord and not do what I tell you to do?" Words without actions were never acceptable to Jesus. Oof. Faith without action is dead. He just nails it. Folks, I'm gonna call it what it is. Clearly, there is a time to do and a time to be. Much of the reason I believe is because doing produces measurable outcomes. So last Monday was my day off, and I was so pleased with myself. I had this huge day of doing. I had a list and jobs that had been hanging over me for weeks. And I raced down. I posted this dress that I ordered online that didn't fit. I went down and got a new CPAP mask because I've got sleep apnea, so I wear a mask. Don't get a visual picture of that. I worked at jobs around the house. And I felt so incredibly pleased with myself. And I come over back to Rod at the end of the day. I say, "You would not believe what I've accomplished today." And I tell him how great I felt about all of my doing. Yeah? Anybody relate to that? When you've had one of those days where you've just absolutely accomplished so much. We have this incredible desire to feel like we achieve, to feel significant, to be productive, to make a difference. And when I spend time doing, I'm rewarded with immediate results. I can see. And I can see my progress. But the problem with being is that the work and the progress is unseen for the most part. It's not measurable. Taking time out of our busy lives to spend with Jesus requires a level of faith and trust that most of us don't always have the patience for. In many ways, it's a trust problem. So We want to be able to trust God in the calm of his presence. We will never be able to trust him in the pursuit of his purpose unless we have strength that comes from time in his presence. If we don't spend time resting in God and learning from him, we'll burn out and our activity will become more about us. Anybody seen ministries that have become more about the people than actually about Jesus? Great intentions. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Far mentioned that scripture this morning. Many of us don't know how to be. We know how to do, but we struggle with the being. Before we do what Christ asks us to do, we need to be with him. Now, the being is synonymous with what we call spiritual disciplines. I actually lectured at Alpha Crucis on spiritual disciplines. And they are simply this: good habits that allow you to be more closely connected to Jesus. And these are the sorts of things that you have to practice over and over again. And sometimes you stuff up. You don't do them. You're not disciplined enough to do them. But does Jesus, you know, come in and bash us up and condemn us? No. He says, have another go. You know, don't dwell on your failures. Focus your energies and your attention in picking yourself up and having another go. Come on, you can do this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me his strength. And so when I spend time with Christ, I'm energized. The Holy Spirit starts to motivate and energize me, and I want to do what he says. When I come to church and I worship like we have this morning, it gives me that fuel that helps me to keep going on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And when I read the Bible, it doesn't take long before that starts to change the way I think and the way I view other people. Because as I start to read his word, it becomes a fire in my bones. When I pray, there's a peace that comes over me. Everything that I'm worried about, it brings it back into balance as we pray. Faith comes, trust comes, peace comes. When I fast, I learn to lean more on Jesus. When I take a Sabbath, when I take a day of rest, it's not about me. I'm centered on the one who created me. And if we want to truly follow Jesus well, that happens in our quiet time, because our private battles will be our public victories. Many people think that if we have a problem with doing the things that Jesus asks, that they have a doing problem. That if they aren't loving, they just try to grit their teeth together and say, I need to be more loving. Or I need to be more generous. But you know, self-determination, and we've all tried it many times, self-determination, we need so much more than that. And Jesus didn't die for us to live a life where we keep on just determining within ourselves to get it right. He wants our burden to be light and our yoke to be easy. In other words, he wants to link arms with us. Yeah, he wants to partner with us in this faith journey. I'm sure you've noticed that the people you spend the time with the most matter. Many times we actually even start acting like them. We pick up phrases. And if you show me the five people that you hang out with the most, I can tell you a lot about yourself. Because we start acting like the people we hang around with. And if you want to act like Jesus, hang out with him. Wow. Time spent in the presence of someone will eventually find its expression in your actions. Many of us say that Jesus is our number one priority, but sometimes our actions don't reflect that. Because if he is our number one priority, then we have to carve out that time for him. And you're saying to me, well, Bethwyn, it's all right for you, but you don't understand. You know, you work at church, it's easy for you. But if God is most important, he should be the very last thing that we cut out. If we're going to cut out anything in our day, that should be the very last thing that we cut out. Yeah? If God is most important, he should be the last thing that gets cut out. Shouldn't Netflix get cut before Jesus? There's nothing on there much anyway. Shouldn't prayer be more important than those posts? Yeah, on Facebook or those likes? If God is most important, he is our top priority, then sometimes we can be so, we can almost go into convulsion if we don't have access to our phones. Yeah? And maybe we'll miss something important. Yeah? And so often we give priority to those things rather than to say, I'm going to make whatever I do today, the most important thing is that I'm going to carve out time in some form to spend time with Jesus. Good things can become bad things when they become God things in your heart. Good things, nothing wrong with any of those things. Nothing wrong with Netflix, nothing wrong with golf, nothing wrong with computer games. But good things can become bad things when they become God things in your heart. It's very powerful, isn't it? Yeah. I'm just saying that the things that fill your that you fill your lives with, that you need to prioritize. What goes in will come out. Well, I don't have time, Bethwyn. And, you know, sometimes we use the phrase, it's a very common phrase, time poor. But, you know, we've never had so many mod cons, yeah? And we've never, we can find time to spend hours, you know, on YouTube watching funny video, what do you call it, memes and all of this stuff. And yet, research tells that people are watching over 4 hours of television or some sort of screen a day and spending 2 hours on their cell phones every single day. So it's not really a time issue because we kind of find time for what we think is important. Please hear my heart. This is not in any way to be condemning. It's just, I guess, a crucial conversation. On this red letter journey. Why is being with him so important? Because when we are with Christ, our doing is so much more effective. And we're going to talk about doing a lot for him in this journey with the red letter challenge. That's part of being a disciple. But the more you are with Christ, the more you understand what he's done for you. And the more you can't help but want to do things for him. So here's what I'm asking this morning. Real Life Church, prioritize Jesus. Well, how do I do that? Find ways to be near him, to learn from him, to sit at his feet. Well, here's some simple ones. I'm just going to list them off. You come to church regularly. You pray regularly. You read the Bible. You intentionally schedule time into your day to follow a reading plan, yeah? If you find it hard, there's so many different apps and things now that we have access to be able to read on a regular basis or to listen. If you have trouble reading, listen to the Word of God. Get into a connect group or a mentoring group or a small group of some kind. This life and relationship with Christ is too hard on your own. We were never meant to do it alone. You have to do it with other people. Whatever you do, don't isolate yourself and think that you're going to be able to give God your absolute best when you're living in isolation. Pray. It doesn't matter if you start with 1 minute, if you start with 5 minutes. Because as you pray, you write down your requests and then you focus in on them. You can journal. You can download an app that can remind you when to pray. You can sign up for the prayer team here at church. See Betty Alsop if you want to get involved, or Jane Mills if you want to pray for our children. The other thing you can do is listen to worship music. Rather than listening to what's on the radio, when you're in the car and you're commuting, put some Hillsong or some Elevation or whatever, Bethel, on your player in your car. intentionally take a Sabbath. Yeah? You schedule this day not for work. I'm not working this day. I'm not going to tick off that list. I'm actually using this day to rest, to connect in with God, to trust God that He will take care of all the things that I have on my plate. And here's something interesting, which was not my idea. This is something that's in the Red Letter Challenge. It says, schedule a 2 to 3 day retreat every year for you to get closer to Christ. And when were you going to find time to do that? You're going to have to put it in your calendar. You're going to plan for it. You have to actually protect those dates. Say, no, they're a priority to me. This is the time every year that I take to just go away and just be with Jesus, just to listen in and to hear what He's saying to me about my family, about my relationships, yeah, about my ministry. If you do those things I mentioned above, then you will have prioritized Him in your schedule and you will find rest, just like He said. You'll be able not just to start, but to finish. Isaiah 40, 30 to 31, even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. But those, you can join me, who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. There it is. When we rest, we find energy, we find stamina, we find the endurance that we need, not just to start, but to finish. I want to just end with this story. There's an account of a guy called John Stephen Akwari. He is in a marathon in Mexico City, and he cramped up due to the high altitude because he didn't train in high altitude. And at the 19-kilometre point during the 42-kilometre race, there was jockeying for position between some runners and he was actually hit. He falls badly, wounding his knee and dislocating that joint, plus his shoulder hit hard against the pavement. He, however, although in great pain, continues running, finishing last. A lot of you know this story. Among the 57 competitors who completed the race, 75 had actually started. The winner of the marathon, Mamo Waldi of Ethiopia, finished at 2 hours and 20 minutes, something. Anyway, he finishes in over 3. This is Akwari. When there was only a few thousand people left in the stadium and the sun had set, a television crew was sent out from the medal ceremony when word was received that there was one more runner. As he finally crossed the finish line, a cheer came from the small crowd. When the interviewer later asked why he continued running, he said, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." God did not send you, Real Life Church. He did not send me to start this church only to see it fall short and to give up. He sent you and I to finish what He started. God will complete the good work that He started in you. Whatever God starts, He finishes. You may start some things and not finish, but with God, what He starts, He finishes. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Will you stand with me this morning? I know you want to finish strong, but sometimes the going gets hard. But we can lean on Him, we can call on Him, we can rely on Him who gave everything He had for us. He went all the way to the cross, not holding on to anything except for the hope and the joy that was set before Him. He gave up everything until He uttered those words, "It is finished." Our God is a finisher. He finished by giving it everything He had. He gave it all so that we can give it all. There is nothing more worthwhile we can do